before we pray, we're going to pray here in a second. I just wanted to put this thought out there. Have you ever, studied the revivals, the different moves of God that have gone through, not only the United States, but the nations of the world? Do you ever, anybody read, like, Smith Wigglesworth and all the crazy things he did, right? Like punching people and the tumors coming off, right? And drop kicking babies for healing, right? And different things like that, right? Like crazy things. Or you read about the Welsh revival in Wales and how, it was these all-night prayer meetings and they'd just be praying for their neighbors. They're like, oh, send neighbor Jim over. He needs to get saved. And like, brother, neighbor Jim would just show up and come to the altar and get saved. Or you hear about like the Azusa Street revival, right? That happened in L.A. of all places, right? Like, hey, God has a plan for California, all right? Isn't that okay? God has a plan for California. And crazy stories. And one of the coolest things about the Azusa Street revival, it wasn't just men, it was women. It just wasn't white people, it was black people and Hispanic people. And it wasn't just rich people, it was poor people, educated and uneducated people. It was like God was just doing something. There are so many stories of flames coming off the building. Like people literally could see flames coming off the building and they would call the fire department. And the fire department would actually show up and see the flames as well and run into there. And then there's all this crazy like revival going on. And they're like, what's happening? Is there a fire? Like, and we read these stories. Or even we had R. Abraham here last week or a couple weeks, 2 weeks ago, was it? And he's just talking about what's happening in India. In spite of all the persecution, God is moving. And you hear these stories and sometimes there should be a passion and a hunger that's stirred up when we hear these things. We need to ask ourselves three questions today. Are you ready to ask these questions? Yes, you're ready. You're ready. Amen. Thank you. Sometimes you got to amen yourself as a pastor, especially in the first service. People are still sleeping. It's all right. Hopefully I won't put you to sleep. All right. First question. We need to ask ourselves, is Lord, why don't you do that here? Can we ask that? Can you say that with me? Lord, why don't you do that here? Second question. Lord, why don't you do that right now? All right, let's say that. Lord, why don't you do that right now? The last one. Lord, why don't you use me? Lord, why don't you use me? Lord Jesus, today, Lord, as we get into your word today, Lord, how you want to send the glory to your house. Lord, we just claim it for our house today. Lord, we want you to move, Lord, right here among us. Lord, we loved hearing about the stories, God, where you're moving and you're doing miracles and signs and wonders. And Lord, people are getting saved and transformed. Lord, but we want it here. Lord, stir up a hunger, stir up a passion right now. Lord, that we would run after you with careless abandonment. Lord, and seek your face, Lord Jesus. Lord, we want to see it right here. All God's people would say, amen. All right, we're also going to start out with another thought. I remember growing up, I had three brothers. And I was thinking about those summer days where we're all around, right? In the house, it's like, Rachel, I know you've got like, there's four of you, right? And if we have like four siblings or three siblings or more, right? Who's got five? There's five of you. Raise your hand. Six. Seven. Eight. Wow. Okay, I'm going to stop there. I'm getting scared, all right? 12. No. Getting scared here. But now it's so hard to get together with everybody, right? But there was those crazy, chaotic days, like when we were all around in the house, And I just imagine we're going to be looking at David today, King David. And I can imagine the scene happening at my house in Santa Fe growing up where there's a knock on the door, right? And like my mom's yelling, turn off the TV, turn the music down. There's somebody at the door. Go get the door, Johnny, And all this chaos going on, right? Can you imagine going to the house, going to the door, opening the door, right? And who knows, like, you're probably still in your PJs or whatever you wore on Saturdays, right? We We literally did not care as boys what we wore. Socks, they were mismatched, you know, it didn't matter, like, were my shorts matching? Like, no. We did not care in elementary school, right? As long as we had, you know, pants, shorts, you know, as long as we were covered, my mom was cool with it, right? And it's King David at the door. And there's all these burly, mighty men. He's got 30,000 people of the army there in the front yard, surrounding the house. There's a band playing. Like, what in the world is going on? And he's like, oh, yeah, can we see your, like in my house, my dad would probably be working. So he'd be like, oh, can I see your mom or your dad? Can you, you know? And your mom's like, what's going on? It's like, oh, yeah, King David's at the door. He's got this gold box. He wants to see if he can leave it in the living room. Right? Could you imagine the scene? I want to see that in heaven. I want to see that video. Right? I want to see the video archives. And you're like, and I can imagine, you know, your mom, it's like, what would you do? You know, think about Obama coming with the Secret Service or anything like that. It's like, yes, please come in. Can, you know, it's like, it's my mom trying to, like, hey, can I make you some food? Right? That would be my mom. Hey, are you hungry? What can I make you? Oh, all your guys are hungry too? Oh, we're in trouble, right? And so this is the story of when King David was bringing the ark back. And there are some problems that happened we'll get into. But he decided to leave it at Obed-Edom's house. And I can just imagine the scene going on, right, in my house, what it would look like. And then, you know, they placed the ark in the house, and I could imagine my mom saying, now, whatever you do, don't touch it. The last person who touched it died, you know. I can just totally imagine that scene, right? I think my mom said that about other things, but I don't know if that one was, this one's actually true, right? All right, you can go to the first slide. And the title of the message today is, well, I want to say this first. God is ready to visit your house with his glory, amen. He's ready to show up right at your front door. You guys receive that today? You guys believe that today? Go to the next slide. Actually, can you go back? Did I have one that, the title of my message should have been, Bringing Home the Glory. There it is. Bringing home the glory, right? And that's what King David did. He brought the glory of the God right to his backyard, right? He brought the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of the living God, the healing, the wholeness, the intimacy, the power of God, right to his house. So we're going to look at three lessons that he learned in the process, all right? And again, you can go to Revelation 3:20, put that up there. If you have in your Bibles, you can follow along as well. It says this, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. Many times we use this scripture when we're talking about salvation, right? I think it applies there. I preached it for salvation, so don't think there's any problem there. But in the context of Revelation 3, Jesus is speaking, you know, to the church. And he's like, hey, I'm knocking on the door of the church. Are you going to let me in? Right? He's knocking on the door of the church on our hearts, our house. He's saying, hey, Billy, I'm knocking on the door. Can I come on in? Can I come over? Right? Skip, can I come over? Right? You got room for me? You ever have, like, unexpected house guests show up, right? You don't have to raise your hand, you know. We're filming this, so you don't have to raise your hand. You don't want that used against us, right? People just show up, and they're expecting to be fed and housed and clothed and entertained, right? Forget about what you were doing. Well, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, I've heard it explained this way, that he's a gentleman. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Hey, could God just barge in on the house and just show up and encounter you when you don't want him to? Yeah, he can do that. He's God, right? But most of the times, he likes to be invited, right? Most of the times, he likes to be welcomed in, amen? And so King David, excuse me, you know, he was hungry for the presence of the Lord, right? You know, he was hungry for God to move in his life. You're like, hey, God had already done all these crazy things in his life. He wanted more, all right? Does anybody want more today? You want more of God? You want him to sup with you? It's like, what's up? What's up? No, it's not that. You want that intimacy with Jesus. You want him at your dinner table. You want him at your little league game, right? You want him at worship practice, or you want him in the office, you know? You want him when you go to work, when you're driving your car, when you're on a date with your wife. You want Jesus there. So the first lesson about King David, he was hungry. He was hungry for more of God. The question I have for you is, are you hungry? And some of you are like, yes, I did not have breakfast. I was running late. And if you keep preaching, I will be very hungry and not pay attention, right? We do have a cafe after the service, so. But are you hungry for the presence of the Lord? Are you passionate? Is there something rising up in you that says, that's what I want. That's what I desire. You ever get so hungry, you're angry and you're hangry? Any hangry people out there? Just raise your hand. You get hangry, right? Yeah, right? You know who you are. And I have this theory, you know, in Hollywood, there's all these like divas and like movie stars and like singers and stuff. And they're all like these bad reputations of being divas. And it's like, I just think they're hungry. I just think they need to eat. Just feed yourself and then you know, won't be a diva anymore. It's like kids, right? If they're hungry and they're tired, they're cranky, right? We get that way as well. We just don't admit it. But have you ever been so hungry like you're famished? I don't say starving because we live in America. None of us are starving, amen? I know I'm not. But you ever get famished, right? Where you're just like, I'm so hungry, I need something to eat. You know, and anybody like super intense when they get into a project, they want to finish something, right? I know a couple of our staff are like, yes, that's me. And you're like, I just need to finish it, you know? And you don't eat and then you're like so hungry. But guess what? How many of you just say, hey, you know what? I'm just going to go to bed hungry. Anybody do that? I'm just so hungry, but I'm just too tired. I don't think there's anybody out there. It's like, we will find something to eat. We will go through the cupboards. We will go to the store. I remember Koch and I, we tried to go on a date in Petaluma. It was like after 9 on a Saturday. Like nothing was open. We ended up going to Rayleigh's to try to buy some food. Like that was half cooked. It was such a bummer. So you either go to the bar, like restaurants, or just come home or go to Rayleigh's, right? But nothing is open past 9 a.m. on a Friday or Saturday. But when you're hungry, you're going to satisfy that hunger. You're going to put something, you're going to find some food. Even if it's not your favorite, you're like, oh, kale salad, yes. Something like that, you're like, oh, I love broccoli, yes. I know in the military I had to learn to eat some foods that I didn't necessarily like because I was hungry, you know. We had our eggs were so bad, they were green, right? You know, like green eggs and ham, there's a reason eggs can be green, all right? When they overcook them or they sit in the warmer, sit too long, they turn green. And when I was in basic training, like, I wanted some eggs. It's like good protein and stuff, you know. And the only way I could do it was if I added grits to it and I mixed it up and, you know. Good stuff, right? You learn to eat different things when you're hungry. Jeremiah 29, we know verse 11, many of us quote it all the time, but I want to read verses 12 and 13, and it says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. It's saying, hey, when you're hungry, you're going to find that food. If you're going after God with everything, God's like, hey, you're going to find me. You're going to search. You're going to find me. That's the kind of passion that David had. He was hungry for God. So we need hunger. And also hunger for the right things. Amen. And, you know, and I do think, hey, God can even change our appetites. That's one of the things I'm going to pray for today. Like, God can just change our appetite. Because when, you know, it's like, hey, we should have appetites. We just need it for the right things. Amen? Change our appetites. So David was hungry. So the story goes, you know, he had heard the stories. He'd heard the story of Moses in the wilderness with the Ark of the Covenant. You know, he'd heard the stories of the cloud by day and the fire by night and the manna from heaven, right? He'd heard the stories just like we did. He heard about, you know, how Moses and Joshua, they would go before the Ark, the presence of the Lord, and God would meet him there and speak to him, right? You know, he'd read these stories and he's like, yeah, I want more. I'm hungry. I want more of God in my life. And you think, God had already done all these awesome things in David. But he wanted that, the manifest presence of the Lord. He wanted everything that goes with that. The healing, the deliverance, the peace, the joy, just the fulfillment when you find him. So, you know, and David was a worship leader, right? Right? He used to be a minstrel, he used to play, write songs. He wrote about a third of the Psalms that we have that are recorded in Scripture. I'm sure he wrote a lot more, but about a third of them are we can say, hey, David wrote these. And how many worship leaders do you know that are, like, emotional? Any musicians that you know are emotional, right? Well, the word I like to use is passionate. Passionate. Very passionate, right? Sensitive. No, we won't go there. We won't say that one. Not doing that one today. But David was emotional. He was passionate. He was driven, right? You know those people that really love to start things and just go for it? I got this idea, and they just run after it. They don't really think about anything else, right? David's like, hey, I got the army. I'm getting the band back together. Let's go get the ark, right? He wasn't, you know, like, hey, well, let's see what God's word says, or let me pray first. I don't think he did any of that. He just had this idea, and he went for it. And I love passionate people. I love emotional people. I love that go that's in their heart. And it's a gifting from God. So the good thing is that if you're a person like that, you just need to find a grounded person that you can claim to and say, hey, what do you think about this? This is what I want to do. I want to go and, you know, and have them ground you a little bit, you know. Not stop you, but say, oh, maybe think about this. Or maybe, you know, let's do a little planning, right? Because I think sometimes, I think I'm more of the other way, where I'm more of the planner and the thinker and the preparer. But sometimes I don't think I do anything. Because I get too bogged down in the plans and the details, and I overthink it. So we need those people to stir something up in us. Be like, go for it. What? Yeah, just go for it. Right? So we need each other. But David was like this. He was the go. Ask questions later. Figure it out on the way. Right? Hey, where are we going for vacation? I don't know. We're just in the car driving, right? I don't think the band knew where they were going or the army. All right, so what happens is, you know, they know where the ark is. It's at Dibonath. I'm not saying his name right. Abinadab's house, right? So they knew where the ark was. And this is all in 2 Samuel chapter 6. If you have your Bible, just leave it there. You know, I'm not going to, most of these aren't on the screen actually, but I'm just going to, I don't want to get bogged down with all the words here, but they go to Abinadab's house, and the ark is there, and it's on a cart, right? Well, they're like, okay, cool. They're like, but that's a Philistine cart, right? That's a late model, you know? They're like, hey, we're bringing a Jewish cart, right? Hey, let's take the ark from the Philistine cart. Hey, let's put it on our cart, right? And they're actually having Abinadab's sons drive the oxen, right? You know, and it's one of those things, I think, I don't think we need to, you know, it's like the purpose-driven life. I don't think we drive God. I think we're Spirit-led. Not that I'm coming against Rick Warner's book, and I love the book, and purpose-driven. It's like Spirit-led, right? And so they were driving the presence of the Lord. That just sounds wrong to me, right? And they were going along, and they were just cruising. And have you ever done that? We're like, hey, I don't know if this is a good idea, but you start out, and it starts out really good. And you're like, oh, awesome, confirmation. This is going good, right? And then what happens? They hit a rough spot. You're cruising along, and you hit a rough spot. Is that anybody or just me? Okay. Done that. Been there, done that. It says the oxen stumbled. So Uzzah, one of the brothers that was driving the ark, he pulls one of these like old school parental seatbelts. Does that ever happen to you when you're driving? Your parents slam on the brakes and they sling that hand out and they hold you there, right? That was my dad, right? He would do that. And I think Uzzah just reacted. The ark was moving and he just went to, stabilize it. Right? He didn't want it to fall. But when he touched the ark, he passed away. He died. What a bummer, right? And I'm not saying I understand all the implications of that. We're not going to come up with a doctrine about that, okay? But talk about raining on David's parade. He's like, I'm hungry for you, God. I want you. I'm running after you. I got the band together, And then there's a bummer. Uzzah died, right? And so that's how he brought it to Obed-Edom's house. He's like, hey, it was at Abinadab's house, but that's too far away. Let's just drop it off here. Let's put it back in a house, right? And they do that. And that's, we're caught up to the story. But the second lesson we learn from King David's life when he brought the glory home is that he was teachable. Put that slide up there. I think it's up there. He was willing to be corrected and learn the Lord's way of doing things. I think they'll find it back there. But you ever done things your way? My way or the highway, right? I like to say that in our household. It's my way or the highway, right? And of course, that doesn't work, right? When you're talking about the Lord. David had a plan, or maybe it wasn't a plan. He was just going along for it. He was just going for it. And when Uzzah died, he said, wait, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Maybe something is off. Hebrews 12:6 says this. It says, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. How do you deal with correction? I know some people love confrontation. Anybody love confrontation? A few people. I know Tammy's out there. I'm learning to like it more, a little bit more, right? But love confrontation. Some people, we run from confrontation like the plague, right? But David had to deal with, a situation. How was he going to respond? How do you handle the dealings with the Lord? How do you handle correction in general? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or anything, but imagine yourself, hey, when correction comes, are you like between like 1 and 10? How well do you think you handle it? And the first question you said, well, who's given the correction, right? I think that always we're like, well, if it's from this person, I'm pretty good. If this person, no, But how do we deal with correction? Hebrews 12:6 in the Message translation, it says this. It says, my dear child, don't shrug off God's discipline. Don't be crushed by it either. It is a child, it's the child he loves that he disciplines. The child he embraces, he also corrects. Right? So David left the ark there. He goes back to Jerusalem, back to business. A report comes out that everybody in Obed-Edom's house is blessed. There's just an amazing fruitfulness over everything in this guy's responsibility. And that's really what when we think about God coming to our house, or the glory coming upon our house, it means, like real estate, like where we live, like your house, the presence of the Lord in your house, wherever that is. It also means the relationships that you're connected with, like everybody that was connected in his family. And also even his responsibilities, the things, his farms, his everything his flocks, all these things were blessed. And that's what happens when the glory comes upon your house. There's a blessing there. There's a fruitfulness there. And David's like, man, I knew I was onto something. I knew I had the right idea. But I just did something wrong, right? And so he goes back to the Word. And there's a couple things that he learns. One of the first things that he learns is that he hadn't prepared a place for the ark. He was just bringing it, right? So you ever bring something home and you don't know where it's going to go? It's going right to the garage, baby. Or you're going right to the doghouse, right? Ask my wife. She'll tell you. I used to work for Skip Dominguez Auctions, and there's amazing things I used to bring home that were free or nearly free, right? We used to have these awesome men's events, and Skip would bring prizes for the men, right? Anybody ever receive a prize from Skip Dominguez? Did it make it into the house?
In a drawer.
Amen. Garage, right? Yeah. Man cave. We gave this speaker one time. I think it was a Joey Steelman. It was a footstool, and it actually had a stool with like legs and like sneakers. We're like, here we go. We want to honor the man of God. And he's like, okay, right? But you have to prepare a place. The ark is coming. The presence of the Lord, the glory of God is coming to your house. When you have house guests, what do? You clean the house, right? Unless, you know, you're Martha Stewart or something, you know, you clean the house. You clean up, right? And that's a whole message here about spiritual house cleaning that I'm not going to preach. But I just want to land on it right here. Just going to land on it. What do you need to clean up in your house? All right? Again, just spiritual house cleaning, right? Got junk in your trunk, in your car, and get rid of the junk. So I'm thinking about, like, you know, house guests, you got to clean up, you got to get the room ready, like, do some laundry maybe so you got the sheets for the guest bed or blow up the air mattress or whatever you do. Or maybe you even clean up your room. You're like, hey, stay in our room. You know, we'll sleep outside or in the tent or the garage or the camper. I don't know. But you make room. I think about all the work that goes into it when there's a baby coming. It's like we got to paint the baby room, right? We got to do all this work that happens. David hadn't prepared a place. So I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, make room. The glory's coming to my house. Say that. The glory's coming to my house. My house, right? So he had to make room. He had to make preparations, right? He had to prepare the house. He had to clean the house. They had to make room. Other thing that he learned, you don't pull the ark on a cart with oxen. And like we know, the wheel is one of those greatest inventions of man, right? We invented the wheel, right? And you're like, hey, we have smartphones now, and we've got, you know, cars. It's like the Holy Spirit is old school. It's low tech, right? Anybody like to go backpacking and stuff like that, right? Or camping. Like one of the things about camping is that we don't have all these things. You know, we get to connect with Him and connect with God and each other. But it's one of those things where they look at the Word. And how are they supposed to carry the ark? The priests were supposed to carry it on their shoulders. And anybody that's like, realizes like, hey, that's a gold box. That's probably heavy. I don't know if I want to carry that weight. Right? They're like, hey, let's put it on a cart. Let's have the oxen do it. Right? But that wasn't God's plan. Again, David had to say, you know what? I need to do it your way, God. Not my way. Not my way or the highway. Right? He tried that. No, God, what do you want to do? How do you want to do it? And so they had to consecrate the priests, and they had to shoulder the presence of the Lord. Right? And I think sometimes we're like, hey, man, put it on a cart. Somebody else, worship team, Dustin, thank you for bringing the presence here today. Right? Thank you for all the work that you put in and your team and the practice. And we do appreciate that. But some of us, we just want somebody else to do it. And for us to enjoy it, right? I recently built a pizza oven, a wood-fired brick pizza oven at my house, right? Now everybody wants to come to my house, right? You'll all be invited. Don't worry. I actually want to build one here at the church, too. We'll see. Glory. Smoke arising, right? Incense. Yeah, I know. Wind on that one. Got to keep trucking here. Running late. People want to come to my house, you know, and you know, like when I have guests over, I want to do the work. I want to host them. You know, I don't want them like doing all the work. I want to do that. But some people get really comfortable that way. Serve me. Bless me. I come to church and, hey, man, thank you. You know, oh, I appreciate that word. It's like, I don't have to, there's no work required. I just want to show up and it's all done for me. I don't want to carry the weight. I don't want to carry the burden. I don't want to change my life. I don't want to do the preparation. But guess what? We get to shoulder the very presence of the living God. Pastor Dustin's talking about we're vessels designed to carry the glory of God. Are you willing to carry the weight? Right? And you're like, hey, that's just for the priests. I looked in the Bible. I read the Bible. It says it's just for the priests, right? Well, it says that we're kings and priests. We are a royal priesthood. New covenant, baby. So turn to your neighbor and say, carry the ark. Carry the ark. Last thing David did is he humbled himself. Wrapping up here, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 6, it says, actually I'm going to read verse 6. It says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself. Right? So David got all these things in order. He prepared a place. He got the band back together. Hey, there was sacrifice involved. There's all these other things. You know, they're shouldering the presence of the Lord. And now they're bringing it back to his house. Right? Now the party is on. Right? He's like, hey, I figured it out. I'm doing it God's way. It's awesome. And it says that he was dressed in a linen ephod. He took off his royal garments and he became like a priest. You know, he humbled himself before the Lord. It says that he danced before the Lord with all his might. He was going for it, people. I want to see that video. I think it would go viral right now. You're like, did you see what he was doing? He was going for it. It said he was leaping and twirling, right? He was going for it. He'd probably be on, you know, so you think you can dance and all those shows, right? It's like childlike abandonment. And he made himself like a child. He said, you know what? I'm just going to go after God's presence. I don't care what anybody else thinks. I don't care if I look foolish in the sight of men. You know, I'm not going to be all rigid and stiff and, you know. And, you know, there's a, Nikki Gumbel talks about this, how you know, if the churches that raise their hands, you know, that's actually traditional worship. Right? Jewish tradition, the yadahs, to put your hands out, that's like traditional worship. So if you're part of like a, you know, you're part of a church or a congregation where they didn't leave their, you know, raise their hands, that was like a new form of worship. That was contemporary worship, right? This is traditional. What David did is traditional. He was going for it. Again, he was passionate. He was emotional, right? And what are we holding ourselves back from? So many times people, they always joke, like, if I got to come up and pray while the band's coming, right? And they're like, John, you're so funny up there. You make all these funny faces. And you're, and again, they say it in a nice way. They're like, you're so passionate, right? And it's one of those things. It's like, hey, I'm going for it. I don't care what anybody else thinks, right? That needs to be part of who we are. For God's glory to come, we just got to go for it. Amen? You know, the worship team come. You guys feeling this today? Good. Don't whatever you say, don't say no if a pastor ever asks that question, all right? In verse 5 of 1 Peter 5 and 6, it says, be clothed with humility. I'm going to leave us with that. Be clothed in humility. When you get up in the morning, like I said, as a child, my mom was like, hey, he's got clothes on, he can leave the house, right? Put on humility. Are you clothed with humility? Let's stand to our feet today. King David had these three lessons that we learned from his life, right? And what I also want to say, once the ark came to Jerusalem, it was an unprecedented time of healing and recovery and blessing for the nation of Israel. All their enemies around them were defeated. The first time in their history, since that word of, you know, when Moses was saying, hey, this is the land, right? Like, that they had entered in. They had taken their inheritance. This is the first time in Israel's history that they had taken their inheritance. And it happened when the ark and the manifest presence of God was right in their backyard. There was unveiled worship. Only time in Israel's history that you could minister before the presence of the Lord, and there wasn't, you wouldn't have to be the high priest on the Day of Atonement going in and sprinkling the blood. It's like, no, the band was playing, the ark is there. It's like he had taken the veil away. He said, here's a little glimpse of the glory. The band played 24/7, right? They were just going for it. There's worship going on the whole time. And again, it was unparalleled time of victory, deliverance, healing, restoration, inheritance. Do you guys want that today? I want that today. So let's learn from these lessons from David. And again, we're going to have a time of just a couple minutes here as they play a song that I want you to respond. This is a time with you and the Lord. You can just, you know, stay in your seat or you can come forward. But there's a hunger there that God wants to stir up. There's a passion that may have waned for the things of God. Maybe you have an appetite for the wrong things. But I believe God, as we surrender ourselves, we humble ourselves right now, I feel like God is going to change our appetites. He's going to put our focus back on the Lord. So if that's you today, I want you to respond. I want you to say, God, change my appetites. A second thing, lesson we learned from King David, is he was teachable. Man, he was teachable. He made mistakes. I'm grateful we have an example of somebody who made mistakes, because I make mistakes. But he learned from those things, and he was teachable. And it didn't stop him from coming into everything God had for him. So, if that's you, if you say, God, I just need to be teachable. I need to come under. I need to respond to the things that you're speaking to me right now. And the last thing, Lord, he humbled himself. He went for it. He didn't hold anything back. When he worshipped, man, he worshipped. He was dancing before the Lord with all his might. So you don't have to dance up here. That might not be your thing. But you just go for it with everything God has for you. And he's going to show up at your house. He's going to show up in your family. He's going to show up in your workplace and your responsibilities. God is going to bring healing, Lord, deliverance, fruitfulness over your life. Amen? So they're going to play, and I want you to just respond right now. Just come forward if you want to come forward.